Next, I would like to invite Vice President Avijit Ghosh to give a presentation on the capital plan and the budget summary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to start my report today with the capital plan. You know, the right physical infrastructure is essential in developing an excellent educational experience. The physical infrastructure impacts how we teach, how the students learn, the research that we perform, the clinical care, and the other services that we provide. As we have discussed in the past, one of the challenges the university faces is that our infrastructure is aged and is in urgent need of uplift and replacement. So for the past few months, the system and university leadership has been very actively involved in developing a long-term capital program to ensure ability to deliver on this critical aspect of our mission. So this process really started in January when the board directed us to develop this comprehensive plan to address our physical infrastructure needs. One of the first steps we did was to complete a very comprehensive study of our needs across the entire system, and that was presented to the board in July. So today's focus is to how to address those needs. How do we systematically go about to address these needs? And one of the board's questions has been, how do we develop a process for doing that, which is not ad hoc, which sort of is a comprehensive look, takes a comprehensive look at all our needs. So this capital program or plan that we have developed is really has a sort of five aspects to it. First is the annual investment target. So for the first time, we are setting a very specific annual target for investment. Our project, a process for prioritizing projects, the types of due diligence and financial planning we're going to do, and a process for approval and monitoring of these projects, and also a review of how we do our capital delivery. Okay, so these are the five elements of the plan that we have worked to put together. So the first part of the process is to really sort of think about prioritization. As you will recall, when we discussed in July, we had explained to you that we had an inventory of over 500 projects that were needed to be done in the next 5 to 10 years, okay? So we needed a process for really looking at how do we prioritize from that. So number of different criteria were used, but these are some of the main criteria. The enrollment projections, as the enrollments change, where will need going to happen, which college, where, what type of classes will have to be offered. Classroom and teaching. Classroom and teaching are changing. The innovation, how we teach, is changing. So as the paradigm of our pedagogy changes, we have to adapt our physical infrastructure to the new paradigm. Then you have been hearing about the very aggressive agenda for research and innovation, including the DPI and IIN. So that is a very important criteria. And then the student support needs and student housing. Okay. Based on those projects, we first sort of narrowed down our inventory to about 340 projects and with an estimated cost about $4 billion based on those criteria that we sort of talked about. If we look at these projects, about, you know, a large majority of those, 72%, are actually smaller projects which accounts for less than $5 million, or estimated cost of less than $5 million. These are mostly deferred maintenance. One of the issues that we have talked about in the past is the accumulated deferred maintenance projects that we need to address. So there's a large number of the projects was focused on deferred maintenance. So these deferred maintenance projects, 72% of the total projects, but they really account for a much smaller portion of the estimated cost. On the other hand, about 12% of the projects are over $25 million, and they account for almost 80% of the estimated cost of these projects. So what are the purposes of these projects? Academic, 60% of these projects, and these are percentages based on the estimated cost. So 60% of the investment would go for academic programs, 18% of auxiliary. And as you can see, there's a great focus on academic facilities. These include classrooms as well as research facilities because of the expanding enrollments as well as our research agenda. And for the matter of fact, we haven't invested much in academic projects in the last decade. And if we look at in type of projects, again, 60% of it is new buildings. 60% of the cost would go towards new buildings. 19.1% remodeling, renovation, deferred maintenance. And you might think, as Trustee McMillan, I know you have asked the question a lot of times about deferred maintenance, that 3.8% is not really a true representation, because when you're doing remodeling and renovations, you're also addressing deferred maintenance issues. So there's a lot of focus on deferred maintenance. So what we propose is an annual target of $400 million a year investment, including investment in deferred maintenance. Okay, this sort of balances what we think our needs are. As I noted in the beginning, we have actually about a $4 billion need. But also we have to look at our capacity, both in terms of financial capacity as well as organizational capacity. How much can we really deliver? Now you might ask the question, okay, how does $400 million compare to what we have done in the past? In the past, except for FY 2015, where we spent about $335 million, on an average, we've been spending around $300 million a year. So this is a 25% increase over what we have been historically doing. Now, the other way of looking at it is the discussion we had yesterday at the healthcare committee of how does it compare to depreciation. So the top ratio there, capital spending ratio, is a ratio of capital expenses by depreciation. So if it was you're spending exactly the same amount as you're depreciating, that ratio would be one. So you can see where we have been spending about a little bit over, about 25% over the rate of depreciation, okay? And the second way of looking at it is the capital investment to total operating cost. And we have been spending about 7% of our operating costs on capital. Now, what would happen if we spend $400 million a year instead of $300 million a year? What would happen is in the left column there, our capital spending ratio will be about 1.4. And then the other columns show you what the industry norms are. So the Moody's norms, as well as the sort of comprehensive public universities. So you see with 1.4, our capital spending ratio will be about where the Moody's median norms are, okay? And same way, the second row there looks at capital investment to operations, which will be, again, that 7.5% number will be very much in line with the Moody's median ratings. So we believe that the $400 million a year target is financially prudent and consistent with industry norms that are there. Where would the money come from? These are the typical sources by which capital spending happens. One is, of course, state appropriation. And as you know, in FY19, we got a renewed state appropriation. In fact, in FY19, we received over $670 million of state appropriation for capital. So we have renewed optimism about continued state appropriation for capital, which will be essential for fulfilling our target. Then auxiliary capital reserves, each year we put certain money's amount into reserves for capital. Then, of course, gift pay is a very important part. In the past 5 years, gift funding has provided about 14% of the total capital spending. Facility maintenance fees, that was passed by the board in about a decade ago. And then plan funds, these are institutional funds that are put into reserves for capital. And then of course, our annual operating budgets provide capital and debt payments. We do have to take some additional debt, and we believe we can take about an additional $400 million of debt from where we are right now, which is about $1.5 billion. In addition, about $435 million of debt will be retired in the next 5 years. So we have about an $800 million cushion there, but we have already committed some part of that cushion. So we have about $675 million cushion in terms of how much more debt we can issue in the next 5 years. Then following that, in the next 5 years after that, there's another $350 million of debt which we will retire. So how do we proceed? So here we have, if we look at from the left, we started with a long-term project inventory. We have narrowed it down to some of a strategic priority list. What we propose to do is to each year create an annual review list or annual planning list. This will include the priorities for what we are considering immediately, and these will be the projects which we'll bring to the board to review with the board each year. And these will be projects that will be working on the planning, both the sort of conceptual design, planning the scope of the projects, as well as making good financial estimates of costs, as well as how they will be paid for. So each year we want to bring these projects to you for the board's review. And one of the concerns of the board has been that projects have been brought to the board one at a time without a context of the entire plan that we are trying to work on. Okay, so we want to remedy that and bring this list. And then from this list, as projects are ready to be approved, we'll bring each project individually to the board for approval. So what are some of these projects that we're working on for this year currently? As you can see, it's the Discovery Partners Institute, downtown Chicago. You have all heard about that project. So we've been working in the Springfield projects. Now these annual lists, we have to remain somewhat flexible because priorities might change depending on gift funds, depending on what else is happening. So these are what we are working on, but there might be some other projects that might come out, especially with the Illinois Innovation Network. There's a lot of discussion currently going on. And if that happens, again, we'll review that with the board to make them aware of those changes. In Chicago, the Ambulatory Surgery Center, you heard about that yesterday in the hospital committee meeting, Advanced Chemical Technology Building, Computer, Drug Discovery, Innovation Center, and then the hospital welcome atrium. You will notice in this list, these are mostly academic buildings or research buildings. We will be developing a similar list for housing and parking and recreation issues. In Urbana, the ACES feed mill, these are the six projects. Two of them are very, very advanced stages of planning. The ACES feed mill, our feed technology center, and the College of Engineering Instructional Facility, these are pretty advanced stages of planning, and we hope to bring it to the board in the very, very near future. So how do we propose to do this? What we are proposing that we will be taking projects out of that list and undergoing four different aspects of studies. One is the scope of the project. Second is the conceptual design. Third is a good budget estimate. And fourth is the financial plan for actually funding that project. Once along with that, we also try to make a decision between how that project will be delivered, whether a traditional capital delivery method or a P3 private-public partnership, because the process is slightly different depending on which process you go, okay, which direction you go. But once that is done, we would like to bring in those individual projects, once those planning has been done, to the board for review of design and the budget, and then approval of construction. Okay. This is the process we would like to propose and like to work with the board in implementing. One of the things we are focusing on is to looking at potential for using private partner, public partnerships. As you know, we were the first, our first P3 project was in the board approved in last year for the Chicago. That project is going up very quickly. The Chancellor Emeritus and his team is very pleased with the way that project is moving ahead. And we believe that there's a lot of advantages to potential P3 projects. And right now we are in the process of two projects in Urbana planning. P3 projects gives us a much faster timeline for delivery. It also puts the construction risk on the developer instead of the university. It puts our debt off balance sheet instead of on our balance sheet. And most importantly, you can get expertise, private sector expertise, to help you build these buildings. So we are very seriously looking at P3 alternatives for a variety of projects. We also have put together a process for project monitoring, so very active management of timelines and expenses. We've created some dashboards to monitor expenditures, the budgets, any change orders, timeliness and progress of these projects. These dashboards already exist, but we are making it a lot more interactive so that you can get real-time information at any point in time about all the different projects that are working through the system. We are also, maybe within the next 30 days, initiating an external review of our capital delivery process with the goal of adopting best practices to make sure we can identify the bottlenecks in our current processes that we have, suggest changes to any internal policies that requires changes, to really look at what the priority areas, also to look for regulatory relief. But the goal is to get some help in making sure our processes are improved in terms of their effectiveness, their timeliness, the cost of construction, those factors. 400 million is a very serious number, and we have to make sure that we're using every dollar as prudently as possible. So this framework, it provides a decision-making framework, and it tries to balance the short-term and long-term needs. We believe this framework will improve our project planning and the due diligence that we are doing, and also improve the financial planning that goes along with each project. It definitely is focused on trying to improve a much more clarity to the approval process from the board, and provide the board with advanced information about different projects, and then trying to improve the efficiency of a delivery process. So I'm going to stop there and invite any questions that anybody.
Avijit, I would like to thank you for this tour de force. I'm so pleased to have this comprehensive review to try to get our heads around exactly what our capital needs are. And specifically your recommendation to increase our capital spending to 400 million per year, in my mind, it could be a cost-saving move doing that, because if some of that goes to deferred maintenance, you know, obviously if the roof's leaking, the longer the roof leaks, the more expensive down the road it's going to be to fix the damage. If you nip it in the bud, you know, you're going to save money in the long run. So, and I guess the other good news is just recently our bond rating improved, so it should make that whole process less expensive, I hope.
We hope so. In a sense, Moody's changed their rating from negative to a stable, and that should have an impact on the market. We, as you know, the board approved certain bonds to be issued a few months ago, so we are actually going to be out in the market early in October, so that'll be a good test of our ability to get good pricing.
I'd just like to thank you, Vijit, for putting this together for us, and I look forward to seeing the fruits of this as we see the prioritized projects presented to us in an orderly fashion with you know, thorough thought behind why we're doing the projects we're doing. And I'm thrilled that we've now begun to put into place a process to prioritize those projects, because if you, you know, we heard at our retreat that the privates are winning, you know, versus the publics. Now, we're going to stem that here at the University of Illinois, but it can't be done without the right facilities. If you go to those famous privates, the amount they are investing in their facilities, and having shiny new buildings is not a abstract thing as it relates to learning. It is almost, it is virtually proven that collaborative spaces and the appropriate spaces for teaching and research are not only inspirational, but integral to those outcomes. So I am thrilled to see that we're focused on prioritizing our projects and getting more efficient in that spending, which is sort of the next step for us.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you. And I would completely agree with you that one of our big challenges we have, that many of our academic spaces, classrooms and others, it's not consistent with the way we teach today. Okay, I think that's one of the big challenges we face. Okay.
Yes, Sandy?
Yeah, Vijit. Yeah, this is excellent, and it's great to see. One question I have is on the prioritization.
Sure.
It's clear in the materials, and it's intuitively clear that each university would have a good good system to prioritize their own projects.
Right.
What isn't as clear in the materials or in my thinking is, once each university makes their list in the proper order, how do those get feathered together to make a master list of priorities, and where is that decision making happening, and how is it being thought through?
Yeah, that decision making is happening in conjunction with the president and the chancellors. You're absolutely right. It comes up from the universities. The chancellors have been very involved in developing making sure that their priorities at each university are consistent with what they feel. And then the president, chancellor, and I sort of we meet along with Dr. Wilson. We discuss a lot about which are the priorities that we could take together. So far, we have been able to accommodate most of those university priorities.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I could just add that that's done, you know, with transparency and collegiality with the chancellors as well, who are obviously coming forward with their priorities. And you'll see a lot of that kind of coordination in the DPIIN capital project. In fact, we're already deeply into that optimization discussion.
May I add something, because there may be a misunderstanding that I want to make clear. Each university also finances its own projects. There is no cross-subsidization of the money. So the ability of each university to build the project, the financial ability, plays a very significant role in the prioritization. The only thing that is common and is coagulated for all of us is the bond rating. So how do you, the area where we will need some prioritization is everybody says, okay, here is my part, I can service the debt and I want to borrow. If we break through the ceiling, that's when the issue becomes. But in terms of finances, each one of us is responsible for financing his or her own project.
And I think, Chancellor, that raises a good point, which is something I've been obviously emphasizing since my initial date, which is to start to understand the finances of each university at the board level with the Vijit's leadership is, I think, very important to the board, because that's also something that has historically been opaque, and I think to make it transparent would be very helpful for the board.
Great.
Now, I just add one other comment. Amen, the comments about Vijit putting a plan going forward is important. I think the other thing, President Killeen, with us having a long-term strategic plan as we go to the legislature and talk about the capital plans from the state of Illinois, it gives further reinforcement of your job of trying to get the support from the state of Illinois. So this further complements that process.
Good point. Okay. Vijay, I think you have another presentation, correct?
Yeah, I would, you know, as you
proceed, if you want.
Thank you. One of the items you'll be considering this afternoon is our FY19 operational budget. This was discussed in detail with the ABFF committee, but what I would like to do is to provide a very short summary for the board. So our FY19, fiscal year 19 university budget, we are requesting the board's approval of a budget which is $6.83 billion, which is about $300 million over what it was last year, 4.6%. And as you will see, the budget has a very growing and a diversified revenue sources, including sort of the benefits paid by the state. And one way to look at our budget is really to think of it in three components. One is the sort of payments on behalf. This is the current and legacy costs of our health and pension benefits that are paid by the state directly. And that's about $1.7 billion. And that's up 4.6% from last year. The second bucket is the sort of restricted funds, which is restricted by, you know, these are gifts and grant funds and other funds, which the funding source restricts way in the manner in which these funds can be spent. And that is about $2.8 billion, and it's up by about 5.1%. And a lot of the auxiliary facilities and hospitals, for example, are part of the restricted fund. And then there's the unrestricted fund of, this is the sort of the funds which does the university spends based on its priorities. And this is how most of our instructional efforts are funded through these unrestricted funds, which is about $2.26 billion. If you look at some of the major changes, as you know, the state appropriation went up by 1.9%. We are estimating our tuition income to increase by approximately 5%. This is a result of some of the enrollment increases that you have heard, as well as some specific small increments in non-state tuition rates. You heard earlier about our campaign and the increase in fundraising, and because of that, we're estimating our gift incomes will rise by 22%. Then the payments on behalf will increase by 4.6%, as we mentioned earlier, and then auxiliary facilities. So these are the major revenue source implications compared to last year. If you want to see the exact funding from the unrestricted side, the state appropriation, you see the tuition is about $1.3 billion. That's what we are estimating for FY19. And that's about 58%. Of all the unrestricted funds we have. The state appropriation is about 26% of the unrestricted funds. Okay. If you look at the restricted funds, sponsored projects is one. Patient care is almost $1 billion in that we're estimating. Auxiliaries are $800 million. And so the total patient care accounts for about 36% of our unrestricted funds. Just a pictorial depiction of the different revenue sources. This is not including payments on behalf. And if you exclude payments on behalf, then our total budget is just about $5 billion. The red portions are the restricted funds, and the blue portion of that graph are the unrestricted funds. Okay. You can see tuition comprises 26% of our revenue. The hospital and MSP combine about 20% of our revenue. And state appropriation, excluding payments on behalf, is about 12% of our total revenues. How does it divide up into the different universities? This is one way of looking at it. UIC is 48%, Urbana is 46%, and smaller amounts for the UIS and the system offices. But I should note that the UIC total also includes the hospital, which is about 15% of the total revenue of the university. Okay. On the expense side, our major expense category is salaries and benefits, which is about $2.6 billion, which is 51% of the total. This is without the payments on behalf. And it's about 3.7% over FY18. The reflection of changes in numbers as well as in some of the salary increments and the merit pay raises that were given. Major expense categories, salaries and benefits, as I noted, 3.7%. But one of the things you see is an increase in material supply and contractual services. This is also as a result of the expected higher levels of capital services and other kinds of services that we are trying to build into here. Student aid increases by 6.5%. That's always been a goal to make sure we have a robust student aid program. So these are the exact amounts. This graph does not show all the different categories, but some of the major categories. So what we have tried to do here is to make sure that we are investing in our priorities, which is faculty hiring, student aid and scholarships, and physical infrastructure. Okay. Key to our funding is, of course, the stable state funding, but also the enrollment growth has been the fundraising momentum, and we continue to keep our focus on expense control. Okay. So, Chairman, that's a very brief summary. As I mentioned, it was discussed in more in the ABFF meeting.
Right. Questions or comments for Avijit? All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciated.